You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hey, everybody. Right. Welcome back to the Gray Malkin Lane Patreon channel. I am so happy to be recording the first Patreon scheduled for Pride Month, in which we are going to be featuring all queer characters on this channel, beginning with Christian Frost. That's who we're here to celebrate today. We're going to touch on Grizzly, Cloud, and Victoria Hand in episodes for the rest of the month. I've got incredible guests for all of those. It's going to be a super fun ride to talk queer characters from across the spectrum. You know, for Pride Month, I can only invite the gayest of guests, so I'm so happy to have some online friends and returning guests coming back to join me today. Let me extend a special welcome to Anthony Ladani and to my returning friend Mike Siriaco. Let me have you both introduce yourselves. Let us know your name and pronouns. Give us a little bit of where we might know you from, and I'd love to hear, as we're beginning, what's the thing you love most about Christian Frost?
Hello. My name is Anthony. Pronouns he, him, his. I'm from Chicago. I'm a grad school student, casual cosplayer, and pretty much just an X-Men extraordinaire down to the core. I mean, I've been a massive fan of X-Men like my whole life. I was pretty much born and raised on it since the 90s. And pretty much my first books I read, which really speaks a lot about me, is the Dark Phoenix Saga with John Byrne and Chris Claremont's work and Grant Morrison's E for Extinction. And that's just pretty much just introduced me to the love of my life, Emma Grace Frost. She's my queen, my muse, my mother. And
I love when people have this very subtle way of reminding me how much younger they are than me.
Oh, please, no. Age is just a number. Let's be real. We all start somewhere.
When did you first become aware of Christian? During the Morrison run?
There is like that fantastic issue by Bill Jimenez, Grant Morrison, I believe that was New X-Men 139.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a cameo there, but I mean, pretty much I got into Christian when I read the Emma Frost solo series back in 2003. And, you know, I mean, I already have like such a well-acquainted love with Emma. What really resonated with me about Christian was not because of his connection to Emma. I mean, pretty much because he like solidified like what a gay icon she is and like how crucial element he is to her character development. But as a gay male myself, who was like really growing up and struggling like with coming to terms with who I am, I mean, I feel like Christian had like such a flawless exterior, but also very flawed interior with all the trauma and abuse he suffered, how he was treated growing up, and how having like being mentally and abused by his father, like he was had to really like come inside, or he was very closeted and couldn't really be himself. And as someone who also like grew up closeted and was outed by a family member, like he was, I really feel like a lot of Christian's past trauma really resonate with, even though it's much larger, smaller scale, thankfully.
This is gonna be fun to vibe about this character with you. I feel like we have a lot to talk about. Let me also welcome Mike Siriaco back to the show. Mike, it's been ages. How are you?
Also hopping on, knowing age and all of that, I remember meeting him in Generation X. Were you a Gen X fan?
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you remember the first time? Because it was a flashback. It was, I want to say, don't quote me on this, maybe it was Generation X issue 26. It's when she brings all three girls to some Christmas excursion at her house, and she's telling a flashback of the brother, and it's the most like Uncle Arthur way of showing a gay brother ever. I don't know if you remember the image, but like he's all like incredibly fey and like on the piano, and I think he's wearing an ascot. Like he was that kind of gay stereotype. So it was great actually reading that series, the Emma one you're talking about, where you actually met him as a human being. You saw him with his boyfriend. You saw, like, he's the only decent person in Emma's life. I'm Mike Suriaco. I am a writer and a comedian. You may know me from my work at Q Digital, LGBTQ Nation, Gay Cities. Then you're may gonna know me in a year from now. I just sold a show. I can't give you the details yet, but I'd love to talk about it a year from now when I can actually promote it.
Let me know. I'll bring you back on the show, but
please,
congratulations,
please,
man. I know what a big deal that is.
It's great.
Here's the big opener. I'm not a big Christian Frost fan. We're going to talk about why, but he's kind of my least favorite kind of gay.
Well, I mean, we're not a monolith, so.
I mean, he's a little bit whiny and a little passive and a little like, oh my God, I had $1 billion and I don't know myself. And like, there's an energy about him that's a little pretentious, but I love him for that. I mean, it's Emma's brother, right? Like, it makes the most sense. We're not going to introduce Emma Frost to readers. Everybody knows. But Emma Frost is a Hellfire Club villain who first shows up in 1979. She's pretty popular. We love a telepath. She dresses in like the sluttiest outfits and is a little bit evil, but also has a little bit of a nice streak. They make her like the Hellion's mom a little bit later. And then she has that story where she like is in the Phalanx Covenant after her like cult. After she's been taunting Bobby Drake for being gay for a long time. And like, you know, later you learn about her gay brother. So you kind of get it a little bit. But also she's just the worst and the best all at the same time. And then she gets her Generation X era. And this character really is super popular. Morrison brings her in to the new X-Men team after that. It's the relaunch. It's the first big push in a new direction for the books in the early 2000s. She's like now talking in like a vaguely British accent and wearing the sluttiest clothes ever. She's very cheesecakey and readers fucking loved her, right? She's the one like sleeping with Cyclops and like shaking up the patriarchy and tipping the boat over a little bit. During this glow up is when she really got pushed into some new directions. And Marvel approved an all ages book for her, written by Carl Ballers. I've had Carl on the show. Carl, last month on my show, on this channel, Carl came on to talk about Astrid Bloom, who's another character from his series.
Underage queen.
Incredible. I read her as queer. He didn't mean it that way, but I
think same here. Oh my God. She is definitely lesbian. Let's be real.
This is an iconic series because it explores the early days of Emma Frost. There was a lot of barriers put in place for Carl, who also had to write in 6-issue arcs. That was the mandate. They made him write all ages. They wouldn't let him use the Hellfire Club because they thought it was too serious for kids. But then they slapped pornographic covers on every issue of the book. The whole series is fantastic. Christian Frost is born in this era as a new character. When we're fleshing out Emma's backstory. In Generation X, we met her sister Cordelia, who's like her goth mutant sister that had like that whole thing with Mondo. And then we later meet Adrian. I have an episode on Adrian with Jay Ferber, who created that character, who's like the Heather Locklear of the family. She's like the really prissy, pretentious one. Before we introduce Christian and like talk about him in more detail, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on the Frost family. The parents are Winston and Hazel. Winston is your tech billionaire asshole who like is making his kids fight to the death kind of energy, where Hazel's like the vapid drunk who just like, oh, my life is so hard, I can't do it anymore. Have you guys seen White Lotus? Hazel Frost reminds me of that girl in season one who had just married the billionaire and is like, now I have to give up my job and I don't know what to do with all the money and the expectations. Rough. There's a lot of that energy in this family who would be on the White Lotus every episode.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So did you guys ever watch Friends growing up? The Frost sisters or the Green sisters? You got the protagonist who's the middle sister. Like Emma Frost in this thing is the Rachel where she's so spoiled, but then when you see her within her family, you're like, oh no, you're the normal human being because your older sister and younger sister are way worse.
I feel like I could like Cordelia with Ryder. Like we've never seen her explored much, but I'm kind of into Cordelia.
Well, I also hated Adrian because I just hated that phase of Generation X. It was that like late 90s kind of when, I mean, Marvel was just tanking anyway. They didn't sell the rights to Fox yet, because that's got like a resuscitation when the comics saw, oh, the movies are working, why don't we just make the comics like the movies since people are liking that Black Leather and putting actual kids in the school.
Well, and Ferber created Adrian. Go back and listen to that episode. It's out on the main show now. Ferber created Adrian as a good foil for Emma, but she kind of starts out as like one type of story. She makes Gen X go fight some bad guys so that she can get the sword that murdered her ex-husband because she like ordered his death. But then there's also like, she got this weird, and Ferber just kind of had to make this happen because of editorial mandate. She went from like her power being to touch something and read its background to like, now I can trap your minds in like a mind vision and make you think that this is your reality and I'm gonna fuck with you. Like, it went real weird and she dies in the end. Anyway, Christian comes from a crazy place, you guys.
No, she can rot in hell. The psychology of this family is, I mean, and I know Chad, I mean, you're much more qualified to speak on this matter, but I mean, when you look at the psychology and dynamics of Emma's family, it's like so fascinating how you can like see why Emma is the character she is. I mean, because you see like how like she's pretty much we can all say like she's pretty much a morally gray but like heroic and occasionally antagonistic person. It just really stems back from like her parents. You have like her father Winston, who is pretty much a controlling evil sociopath, and he just, all he cares about is himself and his legacy. I mean, his kids are pretty much just like props, pieces he can move like for his own legacy.
Winston is Roderick Usher from the recent Fall of the House of Usher series, if you guys watched that.
Yeah.
The family's very like Succession too. I heard that correlation.
Oh sure, yeah.
And we don't really know Hazel that much too. I mean, she seems a little more pleasant and caring in comparison, but she's also very feeble and weak-minded, like being drugged out. I mean, and also too, just pretty much will just turn her head to anything that is going on, doesn't really seem to care.
Unpopular theory as we are beginning, all of the kids have some sort of psychic power. That's like that thing where the power passes between all of them, right? We'll talk about Christian, but Emma is Winston and Christian is Hazel.
I think Adrian is more Winston. She's pretty much a spitting image of Winston. I mean, she's people, and I think Emma's more a mix of both Winston and Hazel.
I feel that's fair, but I think, I mean, being compared to Hazel is not a compliment either, though. Emma has a cruel streak in a way that, I mean, you know, the whole butter rum Firestar thing that was going around for a while there. She's got a cruel side. She likes to manipulate. The father's genes have extended to her children.
The viciousness of Emma coming from the dad and the uselessness of Christian coming from the mom. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I also love the idea that this is how rich they are. Anytime any of their kids are a problem, they just institutionalize them. They did to Emma. They did to Christian. There's like, we don't know how to deal with you. They're crazy. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
So to cover the early trope, and we'll get into some of the details, but I'm going to cover it all at once. Christian's earliest appearance is New X-Men 139.
Yes.
Where we get a flashback to the family. He's at a piano, which is the thing that Luciano Vecchio will pick up later, which is brilliant. He's at a piano. Yeah, he's in a red beret, which Anthony is wearing as we are recording live today.
Might as well be in the theme, yeah.
The only thing we kind of learn about him on the page is that Winston's very disappointed in him. It's very clear he's kind of intended to be gay. You know, Grant Morrison, their writing is wonderful, but it's a kind of a quick background thing. We learn Hazel's addicted to painkillers. We also learn that Christian ended up in a mental hospital at some point. But it's Carl Ballers and Randy Green that go back and flesh this character out in that first 6-issue arc of Emma Frost, in which the basic story, if I'm oversimplifying, is there's a lot of pressure being put on the kids to be a particular way. Christian is the oldest. He's the one that has the most expectations from the family to like carry on the billionaire name and Frost Technologies. I'm pretty confident that's what it is. Christian is expected to carry on the family name, and there's this kind of constant energy of his dad just being critical. You're not enough, you're not enough, you're not enough, as all the kids are kind of pining for his attention. Christian's gay. He's out on the side. He sneaks out of the house. He kind of goes and hangs out at the gay clubs and like does his little fancy teenage boy thing, and he eventually meets a cute boy that he is in love with, and it goes dark quickly. Christian kind of puts his foot down, won't put up with his father's abuse anymore, gets kicked out, and has to go live in the family estate. Okay, how many gay people do you know that just get to go live in their family estate on the side with their boyfriend? Adrian's the one that outs Christian, which horrifies Emma.
Oh, God.
And in the end, Adrian and Winston intervene. Christian's boyfriend Dante gets deported, which is horrifying. And then Christian attempts suicide, and at the end gets addicted to drugs and then put into a mental institution against his will. Again, we'll talk about the details, but that's the initial story arc for this guy. Do you sympathize with Christian in his initial arc arc in Emma Frost.
It was a different time when this Emma series came out. A lot of things have happened in 20 years. Where we were in, what was that, 2002 maybe it first dropped?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like 20 years ago, because it's like if you ever see that first season of Queer as Folk, like it's in a weird place where one of the characters still has to be in the closet at work, even though he's out in public. Although the culture is always the same. You can go back to queer culture in the 70s, it's always the same. So yeah, I also see a lot of going to the drug abuse. That happens a lot with not just gay men, but a lot of times with telepaths. They did this on, I don't know if you saw Legion on FX a couple years ago, but yeah, the whole thing was like, he thought he was schizophrenic, but it turns out he was just telepathing. I think it just turns out that he's both, but he turned to drugs. And it's one of those things that, I don't know if you ever know bipolar people, a lot of people that aren't treated will turn to drugs because it'll make them feel better. I think it's this thing that happens a lot when you see telepaths, they turn to drugs because they don't know how to deal with what's going on. It's one thing that always kind of struck me about Christian Frost and his betrayal.
If you remember David's actual origin story, if you go back to the New Mutants story, he's at a public place with his mother and his stepfather, and an Arab man opens fire on the crowd and kills people, and David's powers manifest and lash out, and then that Arab terrorist gets trapped in his brain for years and drives him mad. That's the literal origin story. We don't have to go there for today, but people don't remember that about Legion. Yeah, the early 2000s era of, we've now shifted from the silly gay best friend and the like Disney villain gay era of Hollywood, and now we are in the everybody's suicidal and hates themselves for being gay era, and that's where Christian is introduced. Like this whole story is rough to read a little bit.
It's definitely a class thing, like you're saying. I mean, it's not really something we can relate to, because then like I said, they're like probably one of the wealthiest people like in the country, not just Boston. I mean, but I will say like how admirable at the time, like this is 2003, I believe. I mean, I know you also had a Color Bowlers on your podcast say like he said like he really didn't want to hold back when like driving in like an issue like this, like with being like out and open and like struggles.
It still fucks with my head that it was an African American guy from Brooklyn writing this Emma Frost series. I mean, I'm friends with Carl now.
I know,
but it's remarkable. Baffling. Like, I love it.
No, I totally agree more. I mean, and I know the series definitely has its issues. I know a lot of people like criticize, and not just for like the Greg Horn covers too, but also too like that, oh my god, that very cringe like teacher relationship. That's nothing to do with this.
This is a teacher that's like Emma's mentor, and she has feelings for him. He kisses her once, and then later there's this whole thing at college.
Carl
told me in the last episode, like, I wrote that guy as a really nice guy, and I'm like, oh my god, I read him as the biggest creep possible.
Yeah. I know, that's the issue. It's like we're supposed to like sympathize with him, and we're supposed to think like that they're meant, it's because it's like a romance, because like I said, he presented this like whole series like as editorially as a romance book. I mean, teen romance, coming of age book. And I mean, but we're just like, we're not supposed to be like thinking this is okay. But
they got the Sonic the Hedgehog guy for Emma Frost. That's what So if we're going to analyze the series just a little bit, there's a lot of interchanges.
Oh, wait, one quick thing, just going about the era it was done in. I also like to point out this was a Bush era book, George W. And so the idea of him having a Latino boyfriend that could just get deported away, that was a huge wedge issue that was going on around that election. Everything was either gay rights as a wedge issue or everything at the border, which I guess hasn't really changed 20 years later. But yeah, the whole idea of like, how am I going to get rid of your Latino gay boyfriend? Just deport him.
But also, this is the era in which Chuck Austin is writing Iceman as a self-hating gay, writing North Star as outward and queer, and Stacey X is in the books doing naked jumping jacks. You know, like there's a lot more explicit content allowed, and even having a queer character in this way in the books at this time is very special. It also
wasn't that the time Angel was dating Husk, even though she was like half his age? Was an interesting run.
But she was still 19. I love Chuck Austin. We've become buddies. He's one of my favorite people, actually. I think he's fantastic. So we're going to jump into the books a little bit here. Yeah. There's a lot of interchanges between Winston yelling at Christian, who's very stubborn, and Emma and Christian kind of keeping secrets from each other to open. Yeah. I mean, I'll give a couple examples. Winston says, your son nearly revealed one of our trade strategies to a major competitor, Hazel. And dad, how many times do I have to apologize, father, until I get tired of hearing your apology, Christian? I give up. I won't even try to defend myself. There's nothing to defend. You're an idiot. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I totally hear Christian with like the very kind of feminine lilt to his voice. Like if you guys have seen that documentary of like, do I sound gay? Mm-hmm. I feel like Christian very much has that voice, which many of my friends do. That's not a judgment statement at all. But I'm going to read him as a little bit extra femme, I think, is kind of how I hear him in my head. Eddie.
Well, don't forget they're in Boston, so you need that Boston twang as well.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not familiar enough with Boston to have that. Like,
oh, gosh.
I hear Boston, I hear that working class Boston where everything's kind of like that. Like, I guess maybe like a Kennedy, but also going back to, there's been so many years that we just hear Emma Frost with that affected, like, transatlantic thing where she just tries sounding like she's from AbFab. So it's weird. Like, I kind of all hear his wealthy family just having just that little bit of, in my head, he sounds a little more like Niles than anything else from Frasier.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Like, that's how I hear him talk. Oh, like, a little bit of that.
I'm still going to read him as a femme gay, though.
I mean, Niles kind of was a femme gay.
He was. The actor was gay.
He was pretty femme gay.
Oh, I just saw him in a series. Oh, Julia, the new Julia Child sitcom that was.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He plays her husband. God, he was so good in that. That was a wonderful show. That's one that I was sad was canceled. And I often don't get sad when a show is canceled.
Okay. So this jumps it. If you had to see somebody play Frost, who would you see doing it?
Oh, God. I feel like we have to go back to the early 2000s to choose someone. I mean, Troy Sivan is who comes to mind from the modern.
Troy Sivan.
like thin, muscly body type, right? Who do you have in mind, Mike?
Oh, God. Who is the kid in, am I thinking Latter Days? Who's the kid from Third Rock from the Sun that went on to like be a good actor? I think he did Latter Days.
I mean, Latter Days is the Mormon gay movie. Don't get me started.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I could see if we're going to like because he's in Cutting the Hair, dyeing it all blonde. I think he would have crushed that.
Even like Elijah Wood circa like 2001.
Yeah.
Anthony, any thoughts here?
I mean, if we're casting this time, like when we we could figure if he's like in his early 20s or so. That's how I'm reading it. I mean, because like Emma's like 18 or so. Oh gosh. I mean, because I see him as a daddy right now too, but that's like the books contradict that. But pretty much I think that one, if we're talking about White Lotus, that one actor, Lucas Gage, I believe, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one that gets his ass eaten.
I'm sure Kristen has knows the pleasure of that. So yeah.
So we get a lot of stuff with Christian in the early days. He calls his father by his first name. He's always like very exasperated, very defensive. Everybody kind of copes with trauma. There's my therapy hat, different ways. And he does his through like sarcasm. Emma seems like desperate for her father's approval, where Adrian like does whatever her shit on the side with magazines. She's like the attention getter, and Cordelia's like the pot smoker who like dyes her hair black and is like openly rebellion. She's like definitely the black sheep. Everybody's gotta know Christian's queer. Not only is it a family of telepaths, but he's just got that energy. He was the gay that played the piano and like had a lot of sensitive feelings, and everyone knew it, but it was the thing they never talked about and were afraid of. When he does get outed, Emma's so surprised. Like, everybody's so surprised. I don't know if when you guys came out, did you have like a bunch of people tell you like, oh yeah, we knew you were gay the whole time, but they still acted like jerks when you came out? Yeah. This is that family.
Oh yeah. I mean, also too, it's noticeable. Emma was just like, she like was not even surprised as well too when she read his mind. She's like, why didn't you tell me? I thought we were closer. She's like, she didn't really care. That's the good thing about like what a great icon she is like, she's just very apathetic about it. She's just like, it doesn't make me change my opinion of you. Just, I mean, be who you are, be open. That's why she heavily disrespects Iceman
before he ever officially comes out. We get scenes of him doing Emma's makeup, of him sneaking out through the family's like servant quarters.
Oh my god.
I mean, it's very clear, it's very apparent on the page, but you're kind of just waiting for them to say it. And in 2001, this probably felt a little bit edgy. This is like when Willow kissed a girl on Buffy and in the whole world, like, oh my god, what the hell, like, children can't watch this anymore. But there's a lot of energy from Christian about like fashion and like this fantasy life that he wants to build before things start to go dark. This is a kid that grew up riding horses and like just having every privilege, but also with like the shittiest parents. It's weird to me that he's the oldest in the family somehow, that like you almost expect him to be the kid brother, because Emma very much is like the new head of the family.
I mean, pretty much he is like, pretty much Emma's like pretty much the only family member that she really has like a bond with, is loves. I mean, she has pretty much her parents, like I said, or her mother's absent-minded, doesn't care, father is doesn't care at all, just cares about his own greed. I mean, it's just, it speaks volumes about how like Emma's the person who she is because she was raised by Christian. I mean, that one panel of her of him doing her makeup and like standing behind her. I actually created a meme and posted that like on my I'm a Frost fan group. It's do you know that one saying? It's like behind every fierce, fabulous woman is a even more is a gay man telling her how fabulous she is. Pretty much the meme exemplified there. It just speaks volumes how like who she is. Like people like see her as like such a drag queen character. Like because she was raised by a gay man. Let's be real. That's pretty much was her parent. I mean, so.
I love that. I love that thought. There's an affection between the two of them that I find wonderful. Christian also, this is the era where like AIDS crisis is still happening and anti-gay legislation is all over the place. Christian moves out of the family house in issue 4 to be with his boyfriend, Dante Ortega, who is an illegal immigrant from, I think, Cuba, if I'm remembering.
Cuba. Yes. Yeah. Cuba.
And they go live together in one of the family houses. And it's kind of cute, but he's just waiting to get caught, clearly, because someone's going to notice where he is and who he's with.
Again, you got to remember when this is coming out, we didn't have a lot of queer representation, especially young adults at that time. I think when I was reading it, I would have been Christian and Dante's age. So we were like hungry for it. Again, we didn't have any act. I mean, it was before Wiccan and Hulkling dropped. I think it was a couple of years before we got them. Shatterstar wasn't gay yet. Iceman was still, I mean, Northstar was making jokes about Iceman being gay, which turned out to be incredibly prophetic jokes. So the idea of seeing a initially they were a happy, healthy couple, which made it way more heartbreaking when you saw how like they got destroyed just because her father's terrible. I'm trying to remember what his motivation was. He just was homophobic and just terrible. He kind of
Oh,
honestly,
yeah,
the
and
more I read
controlling.
about them, they remind me. I don't know if you ever read Mary Trump's biography about
Yeah.
the family and
Oh,
everything. That Hazel is a lot like the absentee mom that her
Yeah.
absence fucked them all up, and then the father that was there that just fucked them up, which also mirrors Arrested Development a little bit too, but
Sure,
just
yeah.
these rich, damaged people.
There's an old
Yeah.
quote from Sigmund Freud from the 50s that says homosexuality is the result of an overbearing mother and an absent father. And weirdly, that applies to every gay person I've ever met.
I was about to say, life story right here.
So Christian and Dante have problems, and Christian starts drinking. And Emma Frost 4 is where we really see the significance of his alcohol problem, which had been set up by Morrison in the original appearance. Dante wanted to be official, and Christian wasn't ready, so Dante left him. And we've all had that boyfriend or been that boyfriend before, right? Christian starts drinking a bunch. Emma has to save him from getting like roofied in a gay club, and he finally opens up to his sister about being gay. But Adrian records the conversation and plays it for Winston. This is a lot happened in this issue. Winston
Wow.
flips the fuck out. It all makes perfect sense now, son. Your poor leadership skills, your affinity for Cole Porter, the way you hold a martini glass, and that trifecta. Emma, he's gay, makes me laugh really hard. And then Cordelia's like, wait, I have a navel tattoo. And Adrian's like, and Emma's like, and Adrian's a cover model on a magazine. And Winston's so pissed off. Like the whole family is just blowing up. They all want dad's attention so much.
This is like truly, I mean, it really sets the context of why Adrienne and Emma have like such great tension, like especially like in the 90s when she was first introduced in Generation X. Really don't get much context of why they like really hate each other, but I mean this really shows like it's she pretty much like set the ball in motion with Christian's like upcoming downfall and like fall like for like almost a decade. I mean, just from her purely being selfish. I mean, it's just really goes to show like retrospectively like why Emma like hates her so much, like that driven ambition to murder her and just like just how what a heartless person she is. I mean, I feel like with Adrian Frost, I mean, I really want to like stand this character because I mean, I love an evil bitch. I mean, let's be real, like Celine, Kandra, like all those other characters, but they're like in a way, Adrian is like so realistic. She's like such a you think she's so fabulous, but she's like also too you think like she's pretty much like a huge like Republican that will like throw vote against anti-gay
She's like
legislature.
the biggest bitch in the X-Men comics, and that's saying
It
something.
is. It's crazy. It's like I said, she's like the spitting image of Winston. She doesn't care about anyone but herself, like her own ambitions. She's pretty much like the female equivalent of Sebastian Shaw. I mean, it's crazy they've never like interacted before.
I
So
would love to write a story of Monet St. Croix like punching Adrian Frost in the face. That would be amazing.
yes.
They should all get a turn. Like, I mean, for what she did, like to Christian, then Sink, and then Emma. It's just like, I mean, it's just like, yeah, stay dead, bitch. I mean, rot in hell with your father. I mean, everything you did, I mean, you deserve it.
Oh,
Did
in
they
the
not
next
bring her
issue.
back in Krakoa?
Nope.
Nope. Adrienne hasn't been back in years. She's dead. Emma killed her. Yes.
She made sure like to keep her in the behind the
delete list. That file.
But yes. God, do I have ideas?
I know. That would have been.
In issue 5, Winston starts applying pressure to Christian, who's, and this is my favorite Christian quote of all time. He says, "Dad, I'm not going to play your game," basically. And then the direct quote, "This is the life I've chosen. I've only got one to live, and no amount of strong arming is going to change either of those facts, this determination to live." So he leaves. The dad cuts him out. They kick him out of the house. They cut off all his credit cards. And, you know, that's a pretty harsh reality for a kid who's never been in this world. I do have sympathy for Christian in this space. Yeah. So he moves in with his boyfriend, Dante. They're now official because Christian hit rock bottom. They're living in a little apartment together and like having a little fun time as a cute little gay couple until Winston sends immigration to deport Dante. They plant heroin in the house and frame Dante for drug possession. Adrienne's the one that's behind it. It's a rough story. And that night, Christian tries to hang himself. I'm glad this isn't your typical queer story. There is a lot of pathos involved and there's a lot of setup, but we've already seen Christian as an abuse victim, cut off from his family and disowned as an alcoholic. And now there's a suicide clear attempt here.
Yeah.
I think it's an incredibly honest story. Like you look at statistics of disproportionately queer people running away from home, ending up homeless, getting on drugs, suicide attempts. I mean, that's the whole point why we have the Trevor Project. It's not a heroic story. Christian isn't, he's not admirable. He is, you can empathize with him, but he's not exactly a hero. But he has a standard story that is worth telling that was huge in the early 2000s and is still a story that's being told now, especially for a lot of readers that back then may not have been exposed to this kind of story. Because you got to remember, Emma's book wasn't a gay book. It was Emma's book. And part of her story is this queer story.
Mm-hmm. When Emma confronts Christian in the next issue about why he attempted suicide, there's a lot of sarcasm. But then he basically answers, it's simple, actually. Haven't you ever wanted to be in control of something? I thought that I'd like to be in control of my life just once. And then his personal thoughts are, you should have let me hang, Em. We would have all been better off. Self-hatred. Winston openly like hates his child in this issue. I don't care if he's dead. I don't care if he has brain damage. Wow. But Emma gets him help. She finds him in time. He gets stabilized and then he's back at home and just turns to alcohol and drugs to cope. Quite a sobering issue for a young adult book. Like this
heartbreaking.
It's a rough story a little bit.
So heartbreaking. Just chewing too. I mean, you're saying, Michael, I mean, he's not really heroic or like villainous. He's just like trying to survive. He's just trying to like be himself and like live his life, to live his truth. When you feel so restricted, like when you feel like you're like not in control of your life, it's just, it could be really something you really want to break away from. And sometimes people in panic are in like in such a down slope. I mean, they will just feel like the only way to get out of it is just to end their life. I mean, so he pretty much just felt he was out of options and didn't have anyone in his life besides Emma, who he feel like she really couldn't help. I mean, I know this is really not to keep making this all about Emma, but it's like really crucial to her character development as well too, why she feels like it's important like to embrace being yourself and like not hold back. I mean, because this is what happens like when you're so like put on such a tight leash. I mean, you're truly gonna just go wild.
Christian delves pretty deeply into drug use at this point. He's getting his drugs from Cordelia. Emma initially assumes it's the stuff from mom's medicine cabinet. Heroin is the drug of choice. God, that's a rough one to get addicted to, and that's not an easy one to get off of either. That's a hard time. He's also wearing his classic red beret through this era. The red beret for a lot of people is a sign of either a military uniform, or in some cultures used more ironically, where people will wear the red beret as kind of a sign of protest a little bit. He wears this a lot in the early days.
Well, it kind of reminds me, did you ever see the movie Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm.
It was a queer movie. I think it was based on the play by Paul Rudnick. Patrick Stewart is in it. He plays an amazing gay man, and they start a local chapter of the Pink Panthers. It's like the Black Panthers, but like to protect gays, and they all wear the little braids, but a pink version of that. So when he wears that, that's what I think of, the like camp value of it, like not actual military. This is him being campy about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because I mean, pretty much it stayed in not in the Morrison issue. I think that actual Emma Frost issue, she's like, oh, Christian's doing his best impression of Rocket Man. So I thought it was like an Elton John parallel, because, you know, Elton John he wore a lot of red, like a lot of those red hats and such too. So I mean, I cannot think of a gay man not correlating with military at that time. No, definitely it's gonna be camp.
In the
also, I don't think we were allowed to serve in the military at that point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I think at it was not still openly, the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yeah. Like,
and the end of this story, Emma Frost number 6, Christian is admitted forcibly into what they call the Snow Valley Pavilion for the Mentally Disturbed. And he is mm-hmm. in that mental institution for years. We never see him. You kind of have to get the idea that Winston's keeping very, very tight control. Emma, in all of her appearances, this had not been added to her backstory yet, right? But we kind of later have to figure out that like her dad had very tight control of the situation and she's unable to get her brother out. Maybe she's scared. It's a really sad ending. And we see a lot of mutant stories that kind of begin this way. The powers manifest and then they wind up in a very dark place. So Christian's got some major issues. Boyfriend deported, like mm-hmm. abusive household, addict, alcoholic, depressive, like a suicide attempt. And then he's like kept on drugs in an institution for years after that.
Good question. Because Emma was also institutionalized when she started hearing the voices, right?
Very briefly. She got out quickly.
Okay, so it wasn't the same institution, though. Did they send their kids to different institutions?
No, Emma's was because she was mad, briefly. Christian's is because his dad hated him and sent him away. It's, like, it's
I mean, the publication.
That, like, if you cross me, I will fuck up your life, you know?
Yeah, it's really wonky. I mean, her origins are very displaced. I mean, because it's not shown in the origin story. I mean, in her initial solo series, it's just, I mean, it's pretty much just stated in that Generation X issue. It's not really seen anywhere else. So we really don't know if, like, that was really that mental asylum story is true or if she's just making that up. And maybe she was just like maybe she like passed on like that she was just using it as like an escapism, like using that
it's referenced later Christian. Though she was institutionalized for a period of time. It's referenced in the comics at different points.
Oh, was it? Okay, I'll just take a look because I know it's been a really wonky there.
Well, and her origins are told all over the place. You gotta like track it down. So we're gonna jump to 2018.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And the infamous book by Cena Grace, who I recently got to have on my show, which is amazing.
Yay.
Iceman. Gay Iceman, written by a gay writer. Emma's been through a whole bunch of stuff in the interim, and we just don't have to talk a lot about that. But Christian is off the map for years before we see sight of him again. You got to get the vibe that Cena Grace really loves Emma Frost in particular, and loves this backstory and saw this character who had been gay written out, you know? Now he's writing Gabe Iceman. What were your thoughts from both of you when Iceman was first outed and kind of some of the early days of them exploring him dating men?
So which point getting outed? When Jean Grey as a kid outed young Iceman or when young Iceman outed adult Iceman?
I mean, let's focus more on young Iceman outing adult Iceman who now has to reconcile with things.
It's interesting because nobody in the universe has that specific experience. Who outed you? Me. My teenage me did that.
Stay tuned in Pride Month on my show. The Trial of Bobby Drake is coming up later this month. So I feel I'm an Iceman expert. I just read every one of them.
Question about in the 90s, because Emma very, very clearly, if we read it, knowing what we know about Iceman now, it was super obvious she knew it. She was messing with him. Bobby wanted to tell Jean Grey when they're at Starbucks that one.
We'll cover this in the trial, but there's a lot of writers who wrote by Bobby as like the misfit kid, but it comes across like, so in the early book, Bobby's the youngest. He's the one that's not interested in girls because he's 15, but it's easy to read that as gay. When you get into kind of his Champions era and like when J.M. DeMatteis really started exploring him in like the Iceman Limited series, writers are writing him as a mutant who doesn't know how to like live a life not as a mutant, and his parents hate him for being a mutant. And it's so easy to read it as gay again. There's even some direct scenes, but it's not intentional. I've asked the writers. However, when in the 90s, when Scott Lobdell was writing him, when Chuck Austin was writing him in the early 2000s, when Bendis took over, it's very clear that they were writing him as gay, but couldn't say it on the page until Bendis finally outed him. So you can read the whole history that way, but it wasn't really intentional until the mid-1990s.
Yeah, I believe Scott Lobdell was the one who was definitely trying for it. I mean, let's be real. I mean, Emma pretty much just flippantly like told him like, oh, what's your passion? Interior design, I believe she says the line. I mean, everyone can like pretty much just, she's not the type that, she's one that will make you like come to terms, like find out yourself. She's not going to tell you straight up, I mean, who you are.
Anthony Oliveira is one of my guests for the trial. We're going to have some amazing conversations about Bobby's history. I'm really excited. Anthony, did you have thoughts on Cena Grace's initial Iceman run? Before we delve into Christian, what did you think of Iceman's journey as a queer man in this series? He's coming out to his parents. He's dealing with his like ex-girlfriends who were pissed at him. He's dealing with like getting into dating for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those X-Men fans that like, I brought more representation, the better. I just like never really cared even about like the gay characters. I mean, I'm just, if you care about the female characters, I love all like the lesbian, the bisexual one, the Claremont characters are very bi-coded. I mean, Iceman, it was just like pretty much, he's been theorized for like years. I'm just like, okay, just come out already. We don't really.
Oh God, that story where Marjorie Liu writes him getting like a death seed and he hates himself so much that he rounds up all his old girlfriends and tries to leave the world.
It's like that one cover, like they're all like nice. They're like, oh yeah, it's all his fag hags. Yeah. I mean, it was just really, it was refreshing to actually have like a series to have an LGBT writer on it and someone who's obviously a shepherd for Christian Frost too, because I honestly did not think that character would come back. I mean, it was really a huge deep draw. I mean, my friend Amy, who went to FlameCon that year in like 2018, said that she met Cena Grace and that he'd bring back Christian Frost for his Iceman series. I was like, this is insane. How are we going to correlate that with Emma and Iceman and everything? But it's really just worked out well together too, like how it correlated with Iceman and Emma's past fiascos with like switching bodies and her like discovering who he is while in this body.
Emma and Iceman have a really funny interchange. So Christian comes back in Iceman volume 4 number 2 in 2018. He's out of the mental institution. He's running the family business with Winston. At least that's what we think. And Emma's looking for him, but she's like pushed away. So she goes to Iceman for help. And Iceman learns she has a gay brother. This interchange cracks me up. Bobby says, it all makes sense now. All this time I wondered why you never outed me. Emma Frost's heart thaws for her gay brother. And Emma says, I'm aware of how sensitive such things are for you pretty white boys. Yes. Also, my list of treacherous acts is a bit more ambitious than messing up one self-absorbed ex-child. They burst into the home. They find Christian in there in a suit, pouring a glass of wine. He's acting very odd. They haven't seen each other in years, but he's keeping a big secret. The body of his father is in the back room.
Good. He had it coming.
So his powers kicked in, his dad dies, and now his powers have taken the form of his father. Like, there's this thing where, like, the way his powers now show up is as, like, a ghost Winston Frost, but it's like a telepathic astral presence, which is like taking your trauma and projecting it outwards in a very literal way.
I could definitely read that way.
But you know, Christian's a mental patient who then murdered his father on accident. It's kind of a rough story a little bit.
I mean, it's just so Oedipal. He literally destroyed his father. It's also hard to feel bad for Winston, though, because like he had a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, it's one of those, like, okay, like, it's one of those, you killed a guy. Good for her, you know?
I know, right? God, I couldn't agree more. Definitely, I deserved it. And also, too, I'm like, not sure why they like keep like dwelling on. I'm like, okay, he definitely deserved it. We're just like, we're not gonna like hold it against you. It's pretty much self-defense with how he's acting. Yeah. You mentally abused him his whole life, so.
We do get reference to Dante here. He's living a happy life in Europe. Like, Christian looked him up and he's moved on. And, you know, maybe that's why he's sad in a way. Emma can't break him out of this. She ends up pulling him into Bobby's mind because apparently, like, ice astral energy is like, I don't know what the purpose is.
Go with it.
It's just Silver Age thing because of the ice, yada yada yada.
Exactly, like magnetism. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she confronts Christian. She says, "You're in pain and confused, my love. I brought you to Iceman's mind to show you something. The boy was lucky to have parents who merely smothered him with ideologies he could easily escape, and even luckier to have found a family that accepted him for the self-obsessed neurotic rat he's become. Bobby's chosen family helped him embrace the parts of himself that he thought were shameful. His powers, his sexuality, his identity. I take credit for making Bobby Drake a more powerful mutant. He needed a firm hand, tough love. That's something we Frosts certainly know how to dole out." And Christian, who's like really struggling here, yells, "Where were you? He did all those awful things to me. You tell me you love me, then where were you? When they kept giving me pills, when they starved the gay out of me, where were you?" And Emma is super sober and she says, "I made decisions and they had long-lasting consequences. I can't excuse how selfish my actions have become, but I promise I'll do anything to help you heal. I won't leave your side. It will break my heart if I can't fix yours." And they hug and she says, "I love you. I'm here." Aww. And Christian is saved. Emma then decides to step away from everything and help Christian run the company. She has the family billions and she's not one to, you know, like deny an opportunity.
Oh, God.
What are your thoughts on Emma's read of Bobby's upbringing and what allowed him to be okay versus Christian finally admitting that his trauma was the worst, you know?
Well, I mean, it just pretty much looks like just goes to show too, like why she like has like such a, not resentment, just like why she just talks down to Iceman or Bobby so much too. Because I mean, he's someone who's like closeted himself like this whole time. And even being like in such a supportive environment, like with the X-Men, with like the O5 and such too, who knew and just wouldn't care. I mean, she kind of sees it as like a selfish thing on his part, like seeing like how Christian like had to stay in the closet and like how him being himself like pretty much almost destroyed his life just for being gay. And that's why she's just very much is so down on him, and why it's just so more revitalizing now that she's able to, like, to reunite with Christian and just let him like finally express himself, be himself after so long. I mean,
my favorite thing about Christian is his relationship to Emma, the therapist. I work with LGBTQ clients all the time, and I see people who are in that early stage of hating themselves and coming out and like really reckoning with their pain. And it's easy for me to go back there in my own story. Like I can jump back there any time, but it gets better, right? Like that's the old things get better for Christian, they get better for all of us, but it took him a while to come out.
So I mean, you need like someone like Emma, like who is like who actually is supportive, and like because there he had no one in his life besides like Dante and him.
But I'm so pleased that Cena put it on the page, like Emma was like, "I was selfish and I didn't come to save you, and I'm so sorry and I love you."
Well, also he had to write that because if you really think about it, Emma Frost could at any time gone into that asylum.
Exactly.
Metro hasn't got her out. But it was also everyone just from a publication thing just forgot he existed.
Yes,
just forgot he was a thing. So now we kind of had to justify the fact that I love my brother so much. He went through this traumatic thing, yada, yada, yada. A decade later, oh yeah, I'm going to be there. He just kind of also had to artistically write around that kind of thing as well. Because I mean, Emma could have easily gotten him out of there at any point. It's not that she didn't care. It's that the writers forgot this guy was a thing.
I mean, but also Emma was fighting Nimrod and like losing
it. She was in a coma for a lot of it too. Let's also bring that up. She was in a coma and she had her eggs harvested while she was
on multiple comas.
She had shit going on too. It's not like, you know.
There's a shocking number of stories of Emma Frost versus Sentinels. Like there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Also, it brings about a whole, the beauty of Iceman coming out so late is we don't get a lot of stories of the late in life gay. Because we had like Wiccan and Hulkling being the cute like teenagers and all the new gay teenager kind of thing. There are still guys that come out late in life. God, this is around what, 2018 the series was out? Yes. It was around the time I personally had gone through a breakup and I'd been in a relationship with a guy from my late 20s up until my late 30s. Wow. So I started having to, it was the first time like not dating in my 30s, then having to start dating in my 40s. It was one of those things seeing Bobby go out on these dates as like a late life gay. I'm like, oh, dating your 30s is very different than dating your 20s. Of all the things of him coming out, that's what I empathize with him the most.
I came out at 32. I hear you. But also, I had a toddler and an infant, so maybe our stories are a little different.
We all have our journey.
We see Christian and Emma at the Dazzler performance during Mutant Pride. In Iceman 5, we also get Emma and Christian fighting the Purifiers, who are like the super crazy conservative Christian anti-mutant. They're like the Proud Boys with guns and armor. Yeah. The moment where Christian uses his powers, his powers manifest as Winston. And as the telepathic, like, astral Winston is fighting a Purifier, Christian is yelling, like, self-help things. Like, this is for telling me I am nothing and for telling me I deserve to die in an unmarked grave. He's screaming about his trauma as, like, his demon dad is fighting the evil conservative. And phenomenal. I love that this is his power set. It makes me so happy. They also show up in the conclusion to Cena's run on Iceman, which is really wonderful. And in Uncanny X-Men Winter's End, Christian shows up to Iceman's birthday party, gives him a check, and says, a thank you. My father's estate granted me some liberties with how to divest funds. Emma is used to living in other people's heads. All I know is mine. My head still feels like a pit of echoes. When I was in your mind, you felt my emptiness, but you filled that void with something. Em couldn't show me herself. Hope. Money's a great liberator. Use this to make whatever life you want for yourself. Thanks for helping me not kill myself. And then Iceman gives the check to the Morlocks, who have like a bunch of queer kids living there too. Aww. Again, beautiful, beautiful interchange.
I think it's a very Christian Frost, or just a Frost way of dealing with something. I don't know how to express myself, so I'm going to cut a check. Also, I love, because Bobby's most human thing about him was he was a CPA. So I love that like weird thing that they have in money. I don't understand it, but I have it. I don't have it, but I understand it.
But you can also
connection that I don't know was thought of, but it exists.
You can also read this though as Christian has a crush on Bobby, and this is his way of asking him out. Here's a check for $1 million.
Try and impress him.
Also, because his thing wasn't that he wasn't dating for the past 10 years because he wasn't out yet. He just hasn't been dating because he's been in a padded cell. So again, there's a lot of similarities. They are kind of perfect for each other because they're both damaged, not in the same way, but in parallel ways.
Then we have Krakoa.
All
Krakoa
right.
happens, and
it's
fantastic, and they form the Quiet Council as the ruling body in a nation for mutants. We're not going to live by human rules, human society anymore. God, can you imagine if the gays of the world like settled a nation together? Ooh, I don't know if it would go very well, guys.
That'd be very messy, let's be real.
So there's four ruling parties in the Quiet Council. One of them belongs to what we call the Hellfire Trading Company, which is Emma Frost delivering mutant drugs to the world, but using those deliveries as a guise to like help mutants who may be in danger, particularly in countries that have not signed treaties. Then we get Hickman introducing all this. There's a bunch of breakout books. One of them is Marauders, Emma Frost, Sebastian Shaw, and who's the third one on there? Oh, and Kate Pryde. Kate Pryde, who's the lead in the Marauders. This is her bisexual pirate queen era. They are the ruling council in the Quiet Council, and Emma starts to bring Christian into a position of power. Marauders is a phenomenal book. It's steeped in continuity. The art is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Marauders was just like, I definitely have to appreciate what give props Jerry Duggan just being such a huge great ally. I mean, just pretty much just giving all the gays everything they want. That Erica Jane meme of her talking to the phone. I mean, he's giving us a team with Emma as the Emma, Storm, Kate Pryde. I mean, Pyro, let's be real, he's pretty much a gay man. I mean, but God, who else? Iceman, of course, and like Lockie and them. And it was just like such a revitalizing era too, just being able like, to have like just characters be open with themselves and just a lot of like LGBT content. And Kate finally kissing a girl on panel that looked, let's be real, looked strangely like Ileana.
The tattoo artist, it's so cute. The use of the Morlocks in this series is phenomenal. And kind of Emma in a position of power. It's a good series. Mike, are you a Marauders fan?
I read a couple of the issues, but I haven't read all of them. I remember I got the ones where they were trying to bring Kitty back to life, but she wasn't coming out of the egg. I love it's always Emma that figures shit like this out. It's like, no, because you're Kitty Pryde. This is how you hatch. Everyone hatches in their own way.
Christian in this era is living much more fully realized, which is what Krakoa is meant to be for a lot of characters. What happens when you're allowed to be fully yourself?
Exactly.
When you don't have to worry about where you came from and you just get to be a full version of you. But yeah. Christian in this era is living, he's kind of like, he's like a gay that has like a private island with a private beach and like a personal chef and like a martini and like a submarine. He's like living, his best life is one that's at peace with himself, but also he's the like most lavishly rich, spoiled person that I've ever seen. He barely wears any clothes. This is an era for him that's quite delightful in its way.
It's like you're saying, there seems like a really great running theme in the Krakoa era of like mutants, like in the LGBT community, like Christian, like Iceman, like others, like I think like Somnus, Jumbo Carnation, and Rachel Summers, thankfully, taking the opportunity like to have a brand new start and like be open with their sexual orientation and catch up on all that lost time they had, like being able to celebrate being LGBT. I mean, because we know Christian was like locked away in the asylum and conversion therapy and lost out in all those years. And so he's just definitely like living his best life and just like, you know, I mean, hooking up with Iceman and whoever else on the island. I think Shinobu Shia as well, too. We see them caressing under the waterfall in one X-Force issue. Also, too, I do want to notice, like, his look as well, too. I'm not sure if Matteo Lolli, I believe that's how you pronounce the artist's name. All respect to him. But, I mean, I'm not sure if he was basing his physical appearance on the solo series or if it was just an artistic choice. But he's very much visually depicted, looking a little younger than he is. Like, he's in his 20s or so. I mean, as we saw him in the Iceman series, like, he is, like, he should be looking like a daddy. He's, like, gradually older than Emma and should be, like, at least, like, in his 40s or so, too. But here he looks like he's in his, like, early, like, mid-20s, early 30s.
He's had some work done.
Well, I like to think that, like, he's, like, to remember to catch up on all that lost time, he went through the Crucible and is like, yeah, just bring me back as, like, in my 20s, looking like a young, fit twonk. And
give
like,
me my, my give my hottest version.
Yeah, definitely. Let me live my miss out on the time in the 20s when I was in my 20s to miss out. And with fashion, oh my god, where I begin? I mean, because we first see him in that double-breasted like white suit and like the scarf, or was it a, I mean, I think it was
Eventually leading to the red shorts, red sleeves, open shirt look, and that constant sunglasses,
the romper. Yeah. I'll just say like the red, like the his red, he was very inspired by Taylor Swift listening to Red the album, so that's why it's been his ongoing color. You can notice that too, that the artist is taking a lot of visual depictions from like real life fashion. Like that white suit is actually found out recently from some other fans that it's based on a Dior's fall collection from Paris Fashion Week in 2019. So of course we'd base something on Dior. Or the Frost are all about designers and brand names. But I love his fashion, though. It's pretty incredible, pretty chic. And like I said, I've actually cosplayed that white suit before. Nowhere near impeccably, but...
You'll have to post photos. Anthony and Mike, just for everyone listening, are both in like supreme shape. They put me to shame.
Oh, shush up, please. No.
Mike, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on Christian's fashion in the Krakoan era.
I love the idea. No, just going back about letting Apocalypse kill you so you can be reborn in your 20s. It's like when Bulma in Dragon Ball just collects all the Dragon Balls so she can make herself just 5 years younger. And because they'll notice, if you do five, everyone will think you look great.
Kid Omega was doing this in X-Force with Percy too. Every time he died, he'd be like, when I come back, can you make my eyes like, I don't need glasses anymore, and also my dick a little bigger.
But going back to his fashion, because most of the fashion I've seen him have, because I love the Hellfire Galas, I love those, but I do like he does show a lot of skin. I feel like I'd see a lot of his open chest with that, which I am fine with showing skin. It's what I love about the X-Men. If you have it, want it. Especially because what is the climate of Krakoa? It's like, it's somewhat tropical.
Tropical, right? Absolutely.
It is idyllic there. It is heavenly down there. Yeah, show that skin.
So Christian gets three major stories through the Marauders. Number one, he has a submarine called the Mercury, and he gets to like change the layout depending on what it looks like. He seems to control the ship because he plays the piano while he's around. He also is taking an active part in the Hellfire Trading Company, initially as the White Bishop. And we see him on a lot of missions, picking up corpses in the water, like putting like rescue ships in place. This Mercury ship is an alien ship that has been reappropriated into this ship, which is a storyline they explore a little bit, but not super consequential for Christian. So that's the first kind of big story for him. There's a running gag if he hasn't chosen a code name. It's White Bishop for a while. And then in his like most recent appearance in Marauders Volume 2, we learn that he's officially chosen his mutant name now as the Red Monarch.
This is the thing I always love about telepaths in like X-Men or just as mutants. Telepaths have this weird loophole that if they don't want to, they just use their name. Emma Frost is the White Queen, but she's also Emma Frost. Jean
Grey. Yeah.
I, like in Grey. X-Men, yeah. Like to this day, like they all have that. Are you Marvel Girl? No. I'm Jean Grey. I'm Charles Xavier. If you're a telepath, you just can have the option of being like, no, I don't need one. But yeah, at least White Bishop makes sense. Red Monarch? Is that a reference to something? Is he just being Renoir? Like,
I mean, the White Queen and the Red Monarch, I really hate it.
It's that cringe. I mean, it's just like so anticlimactic. I mean, how many times have we been building this up? It's been built up in Marauders and that Iceman series. I think like with White Bishop, that's a chess piece, right? Because it's like the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, that at least makes sense.
We've got Christian as the Hellfire Trading Company agent. We've got Christian as the adventurer. And then we've also got Christian in an active relationship with Bobby. And Iceman has been written by many writers, most of them queer, as having like a very poly, single for a day kind of energy. He's sexually active with multiple people in the same story arcs. So he and Christian are dating. They're clearly fucking, but also Bobby's doing whatever he wants at the side. And there is open acknowledgement on the page of like, they're hanging out and they enjoy each other. But there's a scene with Richter in the Marvel Voices Pride Iceman story by Luciano Vecchio, where Richter goes, so you're single and having fun, to Bobby. And Bobby goes, very much so. While not so secretly craving old-fashioned romance, I guess, which is weird. Coming out made me cool and relevant for a second. And now a bunch of Krakoans are experimenting and polyclustering. And where does that leave me? So he's fucking Romeo. He's fucking Christian. He's like got boys. He'll like rescue somebody and make out with them at the parade right afterward. Bobby specifically mentions about Christian, we've grown to admire and care for each other very much, but it didn't lead to anywhere serious. And they're still kind of fucking on the side.
Just going back to what he was discussing in the Pride issue, for me personally, I think it's important to separate the concept of romance and sex. It's ideal when you have one person that you get both from, that is great. But at least in my experience, you can't get everything sexually from just one person. It's why for me, having open relationships are more successful than closed relationships. If I am romantically with one person, that's great, romantic monogamy. But having that sexual option kind of opens things up. I think it's one of those situations with Bobby and Christian. They like each other. I don't think this is like Rogue and Gambit level love. I don't think it's Jean and Scott level love. They're cute together, but I don't see them as endgame, if that makes sense.
I think they're fond of each other and they have affection for each other, but I bet they're like really bad lovers. Like the sex just isn't there. It's more platonic and like, let's jerk off, but just it's not, the chemistry's missing a little bit. Like we've all had those hookups, right? Like it doesn't feel exciting.
I didn't even think that they were in a serious relationship. I thought like they were just pretty much just like both of them have been so suppressed in their past too. They haven't been able to get around and like get that sexual energy out like in their 20s. I mean, with men, at least with Bobby's case. I mean, I just like pretty much just read like Christian being his sugar daddy and just, I mean, them just being, I do know Bobby is like he was kind of like right in the past, like when he first came out as like someone like dwelling in like possible chance of like finding romance. Like I think he like slept that with that one other gay pyro and was like, oh yeah, should we can I be a date to Kitty's like future fail of a marriage? And it was just pretty much just like hookup didn't work up there, so I mean he was just gonna taste there. But I mean, it's just, I feel like that's just the case of them, like they're just Skinner knocks out and just being friends at the time too. I mean, I didn't want to see it because let's just be real, in the LGBT communities, like you're saying, Mike, I mean, I don't know if I could swear, but we just pretty much just fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of our culture.
Exactly.
That's a thing too. So we always talk about how Iceman was a disaster with women because he was gay. I don't think he was a disaster with women because he's gay. He's also a bit of a disaster with guys. I think when it comes to relationships, Bobby's just a disaster of a human being.
I mean, he's a disaster with himself too.
Yeah.
That's the appeal, right? Again, stay tuned for the trial of Robert Drake. I'll save some of my thoughts. We do get one interchange, and Luciano Vecchio, who I've interviewed a couple times, friend of mine, love him very much. His work with Bobby and Christian in his bun is really, really impressive. I really love it. There's a scene where Bobby sleeps with Romeo. We'll talk about Romeo another time, the inhuman emotion guy. Yeah, then Bobby's dad died. And so then he goes to Christian for comfort and he sleeps with Christian. So again, he had just been in someone else's bed right beforehand. He wakes up and Christian's playing the piano. And here's this interchange. Christian says, "Good morning, sunshine." "Good morning, huh? Cool new costume." Bobby says, "This is just my underwear." And Christian says, "Ah, with you, one can never know."
So true.
Iceman, he says, "Leaving so early, Hellfire duties?" And Christian says, "Nah, the Royals can take each other's eyes out without me. It's my weekly NA meeting. Health comes first." So we see a reference to him drinking like virgin cocktails and he's in recovery, which I love. Iceman says, "Hey, thank you for letting me crash here for a bit. I didn't want to deal with answering to anyone right now. I hope that doesn't make me horrible." Christian says, "You know, I never judge. Do what you need to do. When my father had the accident," he murdered him, "the chapter of my life started. So I understand getting a sense of relief, even if you feel you're not supposed to." We can relate to that sometimes. We lose someone that was oppressive and we're grieving, but we can move on. Christian then says, "I'll probably never know what my full mutant potential is. Even with your teaching and training, my psionic astral projection is all I can handle and keep under control. And that's okay. Restraint and patience are what get me through every day just to live with myself, my virtues and my flaws. What I'm trying to say is you're not limited ever. You're enough, no matter what." These two love each other a lot. You can see it. They get each other and they both have dad issues. Uh-huh. Christian referring to his dad's murder as an accident cracks me up. And then this whole interchange between them, he's living his best era and
And like you said, it's just really great to see how they relate to each other. They're pretty much in Bobby's head. So they know each other inside and out. And the correlation with daddy issues is just such a great touch. All of us gay men, a large majority of us have daddy issues. And that's just something that comes with our trauma. And we can relate to our struggles there too. It definitely sounds it really shows the great connection they had, they've just really have progressed as characters and how they're not perfect at all, definitely not cure, but definitely helping each other out.
We're in an era, we talked about the early 2000s being the era of kind of queer suffering in our stories. Yes. We're now in an era of queer community, people living large and queer joy.
Again, it goes back to the context of where we are and how much things have changed in 20 years that we get to see. We don't have to see the gay character. For a while in media, you got the token gay character. And that's the beauty of this, that now we have Iceman, while we have Richter and Shatterstar and Karma and Shadowcat and Psylocke is now with that. We have so many. So I do like that Christian is a queer character. It's not the one character that we get. Bobby's not the one. It is, because if I think about my favorite queer character, I'm not going to say Christian Frost. He's flawed, which is great. He's great to have stories about, but he's not fabulous the way that Emma is. At the end of the day, a more iconic gay character, Emma Frost is a more iconic gay man than Christian Frost is, if that makes sense.
That is the truth.
I'm glad that he got to go through stuff. I'm glad he's part of the conversation, but I will never see him as being gay icon. I think Storm puts it best when she's fighting with Iceman, and Iceman's like, "One of us is a gay icon," to which she replies, "And the other is you."
The appearance I want to close on is Steve Orlando writing this character in Marauders Volume 2, Number 7. There's a character from District X a bajillion years ago who's like a mutant tree named Dmitry Smerjikov. Orlando brings that character back here. They're growing him. The tree is growing something called boost fruit. So when you eat the fruit, it makes your powers go higher for a little while. We see Christian tending to this tree. This is him wearing the little slutty red number.
Yeah, romper.
Completely open shorts and little tiny shorts. Bishop is there and Christian is feeding the tree with a water hose filled with vodka. Yeah. So he's spraying vodka all over the tree to help it grow. Bishop, in an aside, mentions to Christian, "Nice fit, by the way." And Christian says, "When it comes to exposing oneself, Bishop, a frost has to keep up." That's kind of the essence of this character does the best. The version of him that's very self-satisfied and pretentious and close to Emma, heart of gold, but also the little bitch on the team. I like to ask people often the question of where would you like to see this character next? Knowing that we have Emma and Kitty with a new group of mutants as a featured book coming out of the summer, I kind of hope we'll see more of Christian in this series. He's not my favorite, but I'm more fond of him after talking about him with you guys than I initially was.
Well, do we know where he is? Where did he end up after the gala?
Like, I mean, the gala, you just have to assume he's in that group of 250,000 mutants wandering around the White Hot Room. That's kind of where everybody is. Unless you're dead or ran away.
Even that thing. Gotcha.
You know, seeing him as like the head of the Frost Company trying to
exactly where I want to see him. Because I mean, I sadly don't, unless like we find like another like a Shepherd writer that like actually remembers he exists. Cena Grace, like Jerry Duggan, like recently like Steve Orlando. I mean, you really need someone who's really passionate.
Letting queer writers quite write queer characters makes a big difference.
That's, exactly. So you're not, as long as you're not like writing him as a stereotype. I mean, since like Emma is confirmed to appear in the Exceptional X-Men with Kate Pryde, I mean, why not just like let him? I mean, I think what's so important, what I like about him is like his close relationship with Emma and like how they're so tight. So I just hope like he's like still helping continue to manage like Frost Enterprises. And because I believe they have a facility there, I think it's like shown in like the first like in the Dark Phoenix saga, they actually have a going way back. I mean, they actually have a factory there. Let him be in charge there. Like it goes like really full circle, like how like his father initially wouldn't let him be in charge of the company, but let him do it now and just let Emma help out inside and just help train other students. I mean, everyone has to stick together. So I'd like to see the Frost siblings while they still got each other.
So I question to what extent he actually wants to be in charge of these companies. It was always kind of thrust on him and he never actually seemed to want that. And I don't actually want to see him in that position. I'm more interested in the fact that he's a survivor of drug addiction, alcoholism, abuse. I would much rather see him, because the way that Emma Frost was always interesting as a teacher, she genuinely was a good educator. And she's that kind of bitch teacher that you remember. She was hard on you, but you remember. I would be interested to see him going down a path of how he can help the next generation that had to deal with abuse, drug addiction, being queer, being a mutant, but also still having that Frost fabulousness. That I think would be the most interesting way of seeing it going forward.
I'm going to propose a wildly different scenario for this.
Go for it.
Christian dates a boy for a minute. The boy breaks his heart or cheats on him, and Christian says fuck it, and he walks over to the Hellfire Club and enrolls as like the new white bishop. He's not in charge, he's drinking. We see lots of scenes of him like hanging out with like Shinobi Shaw, who also loves open robe and like briefs, and sitting in the Hellfire Club in like some spiked heels, and there's like some man candy like down on their hands and knees, like serving him as he's like there, his footrest. And he goes into kind of full lazy mutant supervillain era for a while. That's also a story that's kind of amazing.
I would read that. I would like to read that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we need evil gaze, so can't just have we need a variety in our gaze.
This has been a fantastic conversation. I've loved hanging out with you both. If you have any final thoughts on Christian, I'd love to hear them. But as we're wrapping up, let everybody know where they can find you online, and is there anything you'd like to plug? We're going to put this out on the Patreon on June 6th.
You can find me on Instagram at my name Mike M-I-K-E Siriaco C-I-R-I-A-C-O 2099.
I want to have you and Michael Solis back on sometime together. That'd be wild.
Yes. Oh my god, yes,
that'd be fun. That's what he said too. Yay.
Find me on Instagram at A Brodakirk. That's A-B-R-O-D-A-K-I-R-C-K, like Captain Kirk. And I mostly just post pictures and stories of my Corgi Luca and just gay memes and, you know, Taylor Swift content, because, you know, proper gay.
And listeners, follow both of these men. They're very pretty and they post lots of pretty pictures, so it's a good time.
Gosh.
Lastly, I'm Ted Anderson. I keep my own social media private because I got kiddos. Follow Gray Malkin Lane, Gray Malkin _ Lane on Instagram. Hopefully at this point we have successfully funded the Kickstarter to my graphic memoir Game Mormon Dad, which is running during the month of May. And we've got a lot of amazing content. The show is built into the end of August right now. I've got some amazing stuff. The very next episode out on the main show after this, we'll be reviewing the old early 70s crossover called The Avengers Defenders War, which has some X-Men related content in it. And my guests on that one are outgoing X-Men editor Jordan White and incoming X-Men editor Tom Brevoort. And it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I've been planning this for months, so I can't wait.
The A-list.
We're going to have a great time. Enjoy Pride Month on Gray Malkin Lane, everybody. Yeah. Happy Pride. Be safe.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Anthony. We'll see you all back here next time on Gray Malkin Lane's Patreon.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.